One of the most difficult sins to confess and to overcome, and yet probably one of the most common sins, is the sin of being unforgiving. I don't know how many times people have come to me in confession and expressed tremendous sorrow and confusion over their inability to forgive someone else. And yet forgiving is essential to the Christian life. As today's gospel reminds us, when Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive?" And Jesus responds, 77 times. Now, by this, Jesus doesn't mean on the 78th time you have free rein to be as angry as you want, etc. The number 7 is a symbolic number, very symbolic, as it symbolizes perfection in the Scriptures, so that the number 77 stands for an infinite perfection, or an infinite number of times. It means always and every time. Jesus' instruction here is one of the hardest for us to fulfill and even to understand. To think that we have to forgive every single offense against us by anyone who offends us. It seems impossible, but Jesus makes it a condition of God forgiving us, saying in the parable, he says, "His master handed him over to the torturers. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother." Some offenses seem just too big to forgive. This last week, many of us spent a lot of time thinking, remembering the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. Something like that is hard to forgive. But we can also think of offenses that are unfortunately much more common, still heinous, terrible. Things like rape or child abuse or adultery. But it isn't just these heinous crimes that are hard to forgive. Sometimes the offenses hardest to forgive are the smallest. How many of us still hold on to the petty slights of years ago? Maybe you still cling to the pain of your father missing your big game, or your sister always being the favorite one, or your spouse forgetting an anniversary 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Sometimes it's not just one offense, but a whole series of offenses, or even a lifetime of offenses. For example, the wife whose husband has been verbally abusive throughout 30 years of marriage, or the bigot who lynches no one, but makes his point with a lifetime of petty prejudices. How do we forgive these wounds that weigh so heavily on our hearts? Well, I think the first thing we have to do is make sure that we know what we mean when we say forgiveness. People get confused about this. Unfortunately, some people think that forgiving means the same thing as forgetting. And sometimes we think that we have to stop feeling the pain that people caused us by their offense against us. But as the Catechism says, quote, "It is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense." It is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense. It's not necessary to pretend that a person hasn't hurt us in order to say that we've forgiven them. And it's not necessary to forget that it happened. Sometimes, in fact, it would be irresponsible to do that. For example, if you have your babysitter is a very nice person, but irresponsible, and something happens to your child when they're babysitting, you can certainly forgive that babysitter, but you find another babysitter. That's all right. You're taking care of your child. You're not mad at the babysitter anymore, but you don't forget. Look at the king in Jesus' parable today. At first, he forgives the debt, but clearly he doesn't forget it, because when they come and tell him what he's done to the other servant, he hasn't forgotten that the man had owed him the money and what he had done for him. In fact, he remembers it and imposes it on him again and has him arrested and tortured. Then what is necessary for forgiveness? Fundamentally, only this is necessary: love. Regardless of whether the offense against us is terrible or petty, the reason most of us can't forgive is because instead of loving the one who hurts us, we cling to the anger and the hate they provoke. As the prophet Sirach reminds us in today's first reading, he says, "Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight." Listen to that. Wrath and anger are hateful things, but the sinner hugs them tight. Great line. The sinner hugs wrath and anger tightly. And he admonishes us. He says, "Set aside enmity and hate not your neighbor." And then goes on to explain about forgiveness. Now, once again, we have to look at the definition of a term, the word anger. What does anger mean? Because anger can mean different things in different situations. The Catechism reminds us that anger includes a desire for revenge, but it also reminds us that sometimes that's not a bad thing, sometimes that's a good thing. So, for example, when we desire vengeance in order to do evil to someone that we hate, that's a sin. But when we desire to impose vengeance to establish restitution or to correct vices and maintain justice, that's a righteous and noble thing. Where there's no hatred, just a desire for justice. Like the king in today's parable, Jesus says, quote, "Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he paid back the debt." Anger is a passion. It's an emotion. And like all passions, it can be warped to move us to do evil things, or it can be harnessed to motivate us to do great things. So, for example, after 9/11, anger motivated many young Americans. Some, seeking justice, signed up to defend their country in the armed forces and become heroes. Others, seeking hatred, being motivated by hatred, twisted that anger into something very unjust, desiring evil for all Muslims, even innocent, loyal American Muslims. Just anger is consistent with love. But unjust anger, the anger that Sirach is talking about, is infected with hate. And it's this unjust anger, this hateful anger, that we cling to when we can't forget. We cling to it. So how do we let it go? The thing is, God looks at us and sees the very same offenses that we commit against Him that other people commit against us. He sees our big and exceptional crimes. He sees our petty slights. He sees a lifetime of sins, large and small, in every one of us. But He can forgive us because He loves us. And He calls us to love others in the same way. Love one another as I have loved you. Love your enemy. But how do you love someone who's hurt you? Today's parable helps us with that too. Now, the parable presents sinners as owing something to God. What do we owe God? Well, if you think about it, Everything we have has been a gift from Him, and so in a certain sense we owe everything to Him, right? But if we really think about it, we discover that everything that He's given us, every single thing, is merely an expression of the gift of His love. And so essentially, His essential gift is love, and so what we owe Him is love. Now, Jesus makes it clear that when Scripture talks about love, He's not talking about a warm and fuzzy feeling. And this always is something we struggle with. Love is not the same as liking someone. In other words, being attracted to their personality or enjoying their company. There's a big difference between loving someone and liking them. Liking someone really, as in a certain sense, is because it pleases us. It's really about us. Their personality suits me, right? Their company I enjoy. But that's not the same as love. Love is a profound desire for the good of the other person. And by desiring the good of the other person, I don't mean that you desire the other person to be wealthy or that they, you know, have all sorts of good things come to them from the sins that they commit. No, what I mean is really they're the good of the person. So, and the ultimate good is their repentance and their salvation. So you don't have to desire the good and think, boy, I hope they continue to wallow in their riches. Oh, you desire whatever is good that God wants to give them. But most especially, their holiness and their salvation. So you could desire not to spend any time with someone. You know that you don't enjoy being in their company. You know that whenever you do, you know, it's irritating or something. You don't really like their being in their company, but you love them and you want them to go to heaven. But how do we know how to love God? He tells us over and over again, if you love me, as Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you won't take my name in vain, and you'll recognize that I'm the only true God and have no other false gods before me. If you love me, you won't abuse the people I love and that I give you to love, like your parents or your spouses, or you won't steal, you won't lie, you won't hurt, you won't abuse, much less kill your neighbor, because I love them and so should you. Willing and desiring God's good is willing and desiring that His will be fulfilled. So every time we break the commandments, in large ways or small, every time we sin, we're failing to love God. We're failing to pay Him back for the love that we owe Him. Now the parable also tells us, the servant fell down and did the king homage and said, be patient with me and I will pay you back in full. And the king is so moved that he realized he already has more than enough money, and he literally forgives the debt, wiping it off the books. God is like that rich king, so that when we go to Him and beg Him to give us another chance, promising to try our best to love Him, to start making payments on the debt, He loves us so much that He realizes that He has more love than He can ever use, so to speak. And He simply forgives the debt of love that we owe Him from the past and looks forward to receiving the love we promised to give Him in the future. Now, how does that help us to forgive our debtors, the people, to love those who have not loved us as they should, who owe us love? Jesus tells us in Scripture, with men it is impossible, but not for God. For all things are possible for God. The thing is, God's love is so generous that He not only forgives our debts, but He also gives us even more of His love, fills us up with His love so that we have more than enough to share with others, enough so that we don't need to worry about what was owed to us in the past. We have all the love of God, so what do we care that we didn't receive the love of our neighbor when we should have? He fills us with His love, and with His love, we can forgive others. And so what is necessary is love, the love of Jesus Christ. Today, as we enter into the mystery of this Holy Mass, let's imitate that servant when he fell down, and let us fall down in worship before our King, begging forgiveness for our debt and promising to give him all the love he's due from now on, from this day forward. Let us ask the Lord to give us the grace today to love those who've hurt us, to forgive those who've trespassed against us. And let's not be distracted or discouraged by false notions of forgiveness, by memories that will not fade, or anger that is just. But rather, let us let go of the wrath and hatred that we hold tight to, and rather hold tight to the love that flows to us most beautifully in the Blessed Sacrament, the Sacrament of Love, the Eucharist. And let us leave here today holding tight to that love, the power to forgive our brother, not just 7 times, but 77 times. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.